At the end of the last General Assembly session, when nobody was looking, Rhode Island lawmakers decided to junk the state's boards that oversee education. Without any hearings or studies, the Assembly, in its infinite wisdom, abolished both of the boards that made policies for higher education and kindergarten through grade 12. In place of the two boards, the Assembly decreed that one board would oversee both K through 12 and higher education. This bit of legislative legerdemain occurred at the 11th hour of the session and was tacked onto the state's annual budget legislation. That made it nearly impossible for Governor Lincoln Chafee to veto the move or for other lawmakers to dissect it. At the time, the word around the State House was that the fix was in. This deal was done to install former State House insider George Carullo of East Providence as czar of the state's education bureaucracy. Then the best-laid plans of the Assembly leadership careened off the State House marble. Carullo decided he didn't have the time to devote to what is a more complicated job than he thought it would be. Now both boards are gone, and the education institutions have no one overseeing them. So last week, the state Senate voted to delay the start of the new education board until March. The House is likely to go along with it. It's as if our state lawmakers decided there should be a new bridge on the education front, but didn't design or build the span. Rhode Islanders could take refuge in the mordant wit that so often accompanies the actions of the Smith Hill gang. We could all get a good laugh out of this if the stakes weren't so high. Instead, it's overwhelmingly sad. Is there a more important item on the State House menu than providing for education? We all know that a big reason our economy lags behind our New England neighbors is our undereducated workforce. The political right blames the teachers' unions for poor student outcomes, despite evidence to the contrary. States with high teacher unionization rates have the best test scores, according to a think tank with ties to the American Federation of Teachers. You don't have to look any farther than Massachusetts to see the truth in this. Poverty is obviously a factor in student performance, yet the left has to understand that the system must change to accommodate this disturbing situation, especially in a recession-racked state where income inequality is growing. The issues in higher education are much different than those in the K-12 system. State and local property taxpayers pay for most of elementary and secondary education. Public colleges and universities rely mostly on tuition, private fundraising, and federal money. Rhode Island's support for the University of Rhode Island is the lowest among New England's land-grant state universities. In 2002, the state gave URI $84 million. A decade later, that's dropped to $57 million. Students saddled with mountains of loan debt graduate into an anemic job market. But none of those issues were even discussed before lawmakers decided to blow up the system for governing education. As usual, no one in the legislative leadership has come forward to explain in any plausible manner why they did this. One of the few on Smith Hill willing to talk about this mess is State Senator Dawson Hodgson, a North Kingstown Republican. He put forward a Senate measure that would have required the state to at least have a plan before moving ahead with the new board. Naturally, this move was defeated on a 32-6 vote. It's true that many lawmakers were upset last year when the Board of Governors for Higher Education bypassed the Assembly and gave the children of illegal immigrants the right to lower in-state tuition rates at public colleges. So the Smith Hill response was to abolish the board that made that decision. Ah, the Rhode Island State House, where secrets go to die, but grudges never do.